Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Over the past four decades, we've watched steelmaking and the jobs that go with it decline in the Rust Belt. But demand for steel is rising again, along with pressure to reduce the environmental impact. Steelmaking, traditionally with coal, produces about a quarter of the world's industrial emissions. Several companies around the world are already making new steel using a low-emissions process, and many are also using it to recycle old steel. It's called green steel, and now the hope is it can bring new life to steelmaking in the U.S. Katie Myers is a Climate Solutions Fellow with our editorial partners at Grist. Katie, remind us first more about how steel is traditionally made.
So traditionally, you use concentrated coal or coke to heat iron ore in a blast furnace, and that process generates up to 2 tons of carbon dioxide, as well as sulfur dioxide and other pollutants.
Right, and it also makes the steel, but the problem is the carbon emissions that coal throws off. So there's a lot of steel out there, and we understand that the thinking now is that if you bring another cleaner process in, you might eventually convert the industry to more clean energy. This is a new study from the Ohio River Valley Institute. They found that green steel could revitalize the steel industry, help the U.S. reach net zero emissions by 2050. So what are they talking about when they're talking about the use of hydrogen and renewables and right now scrap, steel scrap?
So they're talking about a process called the electric arc furnace, and this is a less energy-intensive form of steelmaking that involves recycling steel from, you know, projects that have reached the end of their useful life, buildings, whatever. And this process could be powered with hydrogen, and hydrogen, you know, needs to be isolated. And it can be isolated with processes using, you know, various energy sources, methane gas or nuclear energy, but it can also be isolated using renewable energy. Wind and solar, which the study says has more potential than is currently realized in western Pennsylvania.
Right, plenty of wind there, that's for sure. And so hydrogen would replace the coal, the power would come from solar panels and turbines, and the product, the steel, would be these scraps, these either scraps from the initial process or recycled steel from other projects that have seen their time. And is the thinking that eventually, as that coal-made steel was recycled using hydrogen, you'd eventually just be recycling the steel?
That's my understanding. I think it remains to be seen whether coal would still need to be some small part of the steel process. I think there are, you know, people, experts and companies making arguments that you can also replace that with other things, but it's sort of in experimental phase right now.
Well, there's another company that you write about, Boston Metal. They're experimenting with an oxide electrolysis model. This eliminates the need for coal by creating a chemical reaction that emulates the reaction that turns iron ore into steel. And from what we're reading, companies around the world are investing in Boston Metal, again, because there is a belief that this is the future.
Yes. One of the biggest international steel companies, ArcelorMittal, just invested in Boston Metal. You know, once again, Boston Metal is making the technology that would make this possible. They're not industrially, you know, producing green steel, but they hope to sell it to companies in the near term.
Well, we know that the Biden administration has been pushing tax credits, including $6 billion in the Inflation Reduction Act, to encourage companies to decarbonize heavy industry. I'm sure that's also helping.
Yeah, in the Inflation Reduction Act, there's $6 billion in incentives for decarbonization in heavy industry, which includes steel, also includes things like concrete, just, you know, chemical manufacturing, just carbon-intensive heavy industry. There's also $8 billion in incentives for hydrogen hubs, which could benefit this kind of thing. In addition to, you know, if we're talking renewables, there's just so many other tax breaks and subsidies for renewables development.
Well, we're imagining, too, that idea of, you know, companies better get in on the ground floor of this is even more important, because it would seem that the more the industry moves away from coal and the need for coal, the more the industry can move anywhere. In other words, if regions want to hold on to this industry, those that have traditionally had coal, they might want to get going on this because someone could set it up in an area where there isn't coal.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Like, steel manufacturers located near Pittsburgh because that was near sources of coal. That was near coal mines. Or, you know, you saw in near I am in Middle Tennessee, you saw steel mills because we had iron ore. And now it's, you know, wherever, if you're trying to decarbonize, they might locate near, you know, a large wind farm or a large solar farm.
Yeah, and take the business. What are your thoughts about steel workers?
The manufacturing of steel is actually increased by a little bit, but, you know, steel worker employment has gone down in the U.S., and that's, you know, partially because of technological advancements. But what the study argues is that a large renewable build-out and sort of like a conversion to green steel would create enough jobs to re-employ steel workers and use the skills that they already honed. And so the advocates for green steel say that this could be a way to keep a skilled workforce employed in well-paying union jobs.
Katie Myers is a Climate Solutions Fellow with our editorial partners at GRIST. We'll post her writing at herenow.org. Katie, thank you.
Thank you so much.